Our scripture for today begins with these difficult words: "Do not let your hearts be troubled." A year ago, when Idalia came through, I reached out to a friend of mine named Scott Stanfill. Scott is a pastor over in Brunswick now, but in 2018 or 17, whichever year it was, he was the pastor of Colquitt Methodist Church when Michael came through. And their sanctuary lost its roof and part of their church property and had to go through a major rebuilding project that took a couple of years. And I asked him, "What'd you say to your congregation when you got together for the first time after the storm?" He said, "I started with those words from Jesus, 'Do not let your hearts be troubled, do not be afraid.'" And he said that with those, we find probably the hardest commandment to live out in all of Scripture. And I started thinking about that, and I realized, you know, that probably has some truth to it. The idea of calling on people who have walked through a difficult season, who have gone through a difficult moment, and just to simply say, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," that's such a hard thing to live out. When we think about this, we think not just about the storm that we have faced and the storm before that and the storm before that and the tornado that was spun within the middle of that. We think also about our world. We think of living in a world of trouble. We think of how we have experienced three major storms here within our community, but we know that there are even other parts of our region that were more heavily impacted than we were in this go around. It's hard to not let your hearts be troubled when you go to ride down the road and you roll over power cables down in the middle of the road and you remembered exactly what it felt like last time that you rolled over them. It's hard to not have your hearts be troubled when you had to get a bunch of trees taken care of last go around, and here you are again having to have more trees taken care of. Some people experienced damage in not just one, not just two, but even three storms. It's hard to say, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." I remember riding around after Idalia, and if you know, we experienced this go around as well. Your cell service isn't great those first few days after the storm. And I remember I didn't have a lot of music downloaded on my phone, but I did have this one song that I could pull up, and so I just listened to it over and over again because it was saved on my phone. And it's the song we began our service with today, "Raise a Hallelujah." And I gotta say, when you're riding around a town that's been impacted by a storm, those words, "Up from the ashes, hope will arise," take on new meaning. And then this morning, hearing the congregation sing it together, it was much better than me singing it by myself in the car a year ago. There was something powerful about singing and joining in together with that. Something powerful about coming together as a community and being in the presence of one another and sharing in the joy and the hope. And Kenji, where'd you go? You're all over the place. Kenji, you asked people to clap and more than four people did it. Like, I don't know if it's just that our 9 o'clock people got more coffee in their system by 10 o'clock or what happened, but it was such a powerful moment just to be together and to share in hope with one another. But when we look at our world, we see a world that is full of trouble. There's not just the natural destruction that we've experienced and others have experienced. There's division, there's contentious political discussions going on, there's a spiraling economy. And then each of our individual lives, we might be facing brokenness with relationships, with family issues, with health, with other struggles. And it raises the question, if Jesus calls upon us to not have troubled hearts, how do we avoid having troubled hearts in a world full of trouble? How do we find hope in the midst of a life that is filled with so much trouble, struggles, and difficulties? I believe that Jesus does an incredible job in this passage of not just raising that question for us, but guiding us to where we can find our hope in the midst of trouble. And so what I want to do this morning as we get ready to celebrate communion together and gather around the table with one another is I want us to ask, how can we live as people who maybe we have troubled hearts, but through our encounter with Jesus, we have our hearts not be troubled? And then beyond that, maybe even we can take that a step further and take it to more than just us, but take it out into the world. How can we live as those who do not let our hearts be troubled? I believe that the first thing that we see within this is Jesus kind of explains why they're going to be able to have hope in the midst of what they are facing. The disciples are sitting there knowing that Jesus is describing how he is about to depart, how he is about to lay his life down for them. And they had to have so many questions running through their heads. And in the midst of that, Jesus comes to them and says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And then he gives these words of comfort. We hear these read at funerals and in moments of difficulties. He says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." The first place that Jesus draws upon us to find peace in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of a troubled world, and to bring our troubled hearts to peace, is we find peace through the presence of comfort. Jesus doesn't just promise a place, he promises to be there with us. He doesn't just promise us this eternal home, he promises that it will be a place of presence, a place of experiencing the comfort and the hope that comes from knowing him. We even jump to the end of the passage, the last part that we read, and it points to the truth that when we walk through difficulties, Jesus calls upon us to be at peace, to not let our hearts be troubled, to not be afraid, because he is going to have the presence of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the hope of God's ongoing presence with us, provided to us for all time. And it's within this that we see that we're called not just to a place of comfort, but to a place of knowing that there is a presence there that we so desperately need. This weekend, we actually had the joy of welcoming a couple of friends of ours who are visiting from England, and it reminded me in the midst of the storm that we went through and the challenges that we went to about when we went to go to their wedding a couple of years ago. They were having kind of the English version of a tropical storm as we were getting ready to fly into Heathrow. And as we were getting ready to fly in, the storm was swirling around us, and we were all kind of a little questioning, having hearts that were troubled as we were riding on the plane, getting ready to approach Heathrow, about how exactly this landing was going to go. The pilot comes over the air, and in his best pilot voice, he says, "We're going to be landing at Heathrow," and just, he's going through that whole little mumble thing, and he said, "If we are not able to land, we have enough fuel to last an hour." He didn't say what would happen after that, but he did seem to be pretty confident that he was going to do his best to make sure that he could land that plane. I'm sitting there kind of, you know, pulling on the seat in front of me, you know, fidgeting with my devices and doing that whole thing. Emma's sitting beside me in contemplative prayer, reading from Brother Lawrence, practicing the presence of God. And she's in this nice contemplative mood, not fazed by anything. Meanwhile, there are people in front of us watching a YouTube channel of planes live trying to land at Heathrow. And you would see each one kind of going, and then they'd take off back into the air because they weren't able to pull it off. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, how can my heart be at peace in a moment like this? But we got through it. We landed perfectly. First try, didn't have to find out what would happen after an hour of circling around the runway. We were able to land, and we were assured that we were safe. A couple of nights later, we were up in Scotland in Edinburgh, and we walked into St. Giles Cathedral and saw this beautiful stained glass window of Jesus calming the storm. And as a choir was singing, warming up for that evening service, and the beauty of the harmonic tones bouncing off the stone and the woodwork of that beautiful cathedral, I looked up at that picture and I knew where peace can be found. Peace is not found because the world is without trouble. Peace is found because of who's in control in the midst of a world that is filled with trouble. And I know that when we face difficulties, when we face uncertainty, when we find ourselves with troubled hearts, we don't just need a promise of a place that we will have one day. What we need to know is that Jesus is with us in the midst of our storm. We need to know that his presence and his comfort are there for us. It brings us to a sense of comfort when we know who is in control. And so Jesus invites the disciples to go deeper into that. He continues and he says, you know the way to the place where I am going. And then I love Thomas's response. Jesus goes, you know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas goes, Lord, we don't. Nope, not at all. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? It's a good question, Thomas. Maybe we shouldn't be pick on him so much for being a doubter. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. When we find ourselves in the midst of uncertainty, we need to find peace through the path of life. We need to find peace through the path of life, which Jesus defines in this passage as himself. He is the one that leads us to knowing that we are alive, leads us to the presence of the Father, leads us to a sense of knowing that we are taken care of. In the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of difficulties, we find ourselves wandering around, and it can be hard to find our bearings. And Jesus keeps calling us back to him. Whenever I read this passage, I'm taken back to an experience I had when I was a kid. I grew up spending time with my family on Cumberland Island, and there was a place just north of our family property that my great-great Aunt Mary used to tell me about. And I'd heard her stories about people who lived on the north end of the island, and she said, yeah, there's the Stockwell House, and the Stockwell House, it's not standing anymore, but if you just go through the woods a little bit, you can find your way up to it. Now, I don't know if you've ever spent much time on coastal barrier islands, but they have these beautiful things called palmetto bushes all over them. And here's the thing that you need to know about palmetto bushes. They all look the same. And so, when you find yourself trying to navigate your way through the woods of a barrier island filled with palmetto bushes, you find yourself not really knowing which direction that you're going. And so I had listened to Aunt Mary's instructions about how to find this place. I wanted to go find it on my own. And so one day, I was probably 9-10 years old, I set out on my own to go and find the Stockwell House on Stockwell Landing. And there I am wandering through the woods, had a, you know, this machete that hadn't been sharpened in 90 years, and I'm trying to kind of bulldoze my way through the brush, and I end up finding it. And then I remember turning around and looking and going, I have no idea which way that I came. And so what do you do when you find yourself uncertain which direction to go? You have to find a reference point. You have to find something that you know will guide you on the way back to where you need to be. For me, I knew that we were up the creek from the house. I knew if I could find my way back to the creek, that would guide me home. And so I took my dull machete and I bulldozed my way until I could hear the water, until I could see it, and then I just followed the path along the creek to get back home. For many of us, when we find ourselves with troubled hearts, when we find ourselves in the midst of needing the peace and comfort that only God can provide, what we need is to find our way back to that reference point. We find peace through the path of life, and Jesus is that path of life. If we are facing trouble in our lives, we find peace through Jesus. If we are facing temptation, we find peace and strength through Jesus. If we are facing uncertainty, we find that peace and that hope in Jesus. If we are facing broken situations in our lives, we find our peace and strength through Jesus. He is the one who leads us to the presence of the Father, and it is through him that we find hope in the midst of our troubled hearts. I love the way that the passage goes. Right after this, Jesus has explained, you know, you know the way to the Father, it's through me. And then Philip is gonna raise a question that all of them were probably thinking. And he says, Lord, show us the Father. That will be enough for us. Just show us the Father. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. And what Jesus calls us to in this passage, he's saying that you have seen the Father through me, but not only that, you see the work of the Father through me. And then the verses that are going to follow describe how Jesus calls upon his disciples not just to know the work of the Father, but to go and live it out. If we belong to Jesus, our purpose is to go and to live out his purposes and to live out his commandments. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will go and show the love to the world. It is the way that we see the Father and that we show the Father to the world. And part of how we find peace is through the purpose of belonging. It is through the purpose of belonging to God. Because we belong to God, we live as those who belong to God. And through that, we are able to live out our purpose and to bring peace and hope to the world around us. Now, when I think about this, there's a favorite story of mine. And Everly Kate, hey, this is the one time that I'm going to ask you to come up here during church. Can you come up here real quick? Okay. So this is an exciting moment for Everly Kate. This is my daughter, Everly Kate.
Hello.
All right, so Everly Kate is beautiful, as you can tell. It's true. And I remember when she was much smaller, when she was just shy of a year old, people would say this all the time. There were these two things that they would say. They would say, oh, is that your daughter? And I was like, yeah. And then they would say, number one, she's beautiful. Number two, she looks just like you. And I would just scratch my head because these were two conflicting ideas, okay? And fortunately, as you can tell, she has come to resemble her mother, and that has been beneficial for all involved. She was a beautiful child. I've got this picture of her. She was about 10 months old at this point, and you can see the resemblance. This was her little mini-me picture. You can go sit down now. All right, so I remember going to a wedding just before Everly Kate's first birthday. And as we were getting ready for the wedding, there was a weekend long experience. And we were gathered together at this lodge up in North Georgia. And during the festivities, I had gone to get something to eat and I was bringing something back out to Emma, and Emma is out there holding Everly Kate and talking to someone that I'd never met before. And I walked up to him, and Emma goes to introduce me to this person that she had just met, and she looks up at me before Emma can even say anything, and she goes, and you're the dad. And I was like, how did you know? And she said, your daughter, she looks just like you. And here's what God taught me in that moment. Here's what's so incredible. Jesus tells his disciples, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And when you go and you live out what I have called you to do and who I have called you to be, you show people the Father as well. And here's the reality for us. When we get to heaven, to that place that's been prepared for us, we should know exactly who the Father is because we have seen it by walking in the way of Jesus. And here's the next step of that, this. This is what's so important for us in the midst of a world that is filled with so much trouble. We ought to live our lives in such a way that when people see us, they know what Jesus looks like. And when they see us and they see what Jesus looks like, they see what the Father's love is all about. We are called to be people who not only experience that peace within our lives, we are to find the peace for ourselves to take it to others. We find the peace in order to share it with the world. And here's what I love so much about our community, and this is what I feel that the Lord is calling us to live into in the weeks ahead and the months ahead. It was so incredible to ride around this town after I finally got back from Costa Rica, and to ride around this town and to see so many people out there helping. It was so incredible to have people messaging me and messaging others within the church saying, what can we do to help? What is needed? It was inspiring to me to see people who didn't even live here reaching out and saying, can we come and be the hands and feet of Jesus right where you are? This is who we are called to be. Because every single person that we will encounter in this world is walking around with a heart with a tendency to be troubled, to be afraid. And we find the peace and the hope that we need for our lives through the love and the presence of Jesus. And we are called as his followers to help lead others to that. Let's live our lives in such a way that when people see us, they see the love of the Father. And let's live our lives in such a way as we reach out to our community, as we try to help our neighbors in need. Let's live in such a way that they can't help but know that God's love is for them and that they are beloved by God.